Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, exhaling. He's done with finals. And, man, it's been kind of a tension-filled weekend for Nebraska fans. The highs, another national championship in volleyball with Coach Cook. The sad, what could have been against Kansas was not to be. And the fluid. Signing day is on deck here, December 20th. We'll get you locked and loaded. Plenty of recruiting to get to. Plenty of Husker hoops thoughts. And, yes, volleyball insight from a man that is brilliant. We'll have an interview with John Cook, we meaning Hail Varsity. Shout out to Doug Duda, the great folks at ESPN Superstation 1460, 1550 in Kearney and Hastings and Grand Island. They had a killer interview with Coach Cook. We're blessed to be on that station, one of many across Nebraska. So we'll have that for you in a little bit. As in Colton staring at me like, shut up and get to the interview. We'll do that. Jake Mielheisen is coming up, standout for Nebraska basketball. Was part of the call against Kansas. We'll talk to Jake here on 425. Aaron Babcock, amazing coverage from Hail Varsity in Kansas City. We'll talk to Aaron in about 30 minutes. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, 1 hour from now, and we'll talk some Cruton. Greg Smith's been all over it, of HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll get Greg Sontz's the 20th loom. So without further ado, Doug Duda and his sit-down with John Cook here on Hail Varsity from the Doug and Daddy Show.
How you feeling this morning?
Pretty good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Well, everybody's on cloud nine, and I kind of thought the way you wrapped up the celebration yesterday at the Devaney Center was very on point. The state was looking for something to cheer for, and they got down to Kansas City. They were in Lincoln, as they always were, and your girls played about as good as they could possibly play throughout the NCAA tournament.
No question. We, our thing at the beginning of the year was we just tried to be good in the beginning. Then we wanted to be great for the Big Ten and be unstoppable in the tournament. And they really were unstoppable. And our serve blocking defense was exceptional. I think everybody was blown away by how good a defensive team we were. You know, and you guys know how many times you heard defense wins championships.
No doubt about it. You guys just dug the heck out of the volleyball in both matches, but. I always grin if you're out at a sports bar or you're at a house party and maybe somebody that doesn't necessarily watch every volleyball match or is just a general Nebraska fan, and even they can tell how well the defense played in the Final Four.
Yeah, and I watched two of our games against Florida last night, just hearing Karch and Paul Sunderland, who did the broadcast. I mean, Karch is, you know, he is the world volleyball guy, and just hearing their reactions to our dig, and then Holly Rowe calling us the big red digging machine. I mean, it really took off. You know, that's a great compliment to our players. You know, defense is mindset, attitude, and effort, you know, and that's how we do things here in Nebraska. That's the teams have been successful here. That's how they win. We've really tried to instill that in our culture here at Nebraska volleyball. These guys really did a great job.
Coach, you've always done a good job promoting your sport, whether it was your team or other teams in the NCAA. I felt like set one was the key set because basically Nebraska dominated set two and set four, and Florida for the most part took control of set three. Your thoughts a little bit about that comment and about how you won set one?
Well, we came out and we threw a big haymaker right away. We really came out and attacked them, and that was our plan, was to try to jump on them early. And I knew after the first serve that we were going to really pressure them. And it was, I was trying to think, it was Kenzie Maloney, I think, was our first server. Just the way she served that first ball, and I saw how Florida reacted, I knew we could really jump on them. And I think if I'm sensing that, I know our players are sensing that. And we really did a great job, took care of business game one, and then kept the hammer down on game two. And then game three, Florida actually started passing better, and we may have been tentative, you know, backed off a little bit, but they certainly picked up their level of play. And when they pass, they get the ball to those middles who are monsters in there, you know, they go way over us, and they're way taller than us. And they were able to get them the ball, and they had a big impact in that game three. But we flipped it again in game four. We came out, got up to a four-point run. You know, we took another, punched them hard, and I don't know if they ever really recovered from that one.
Hard to bounce back from 9-1. There's no doubt about that. National Championship Volleyball Coach John Cook joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, what were the significant differences? We know Kelly Hunter didn't play the first meeting, but all the way back that first weekend, what would you say a couple of the significant differences were from the first time you played Florida to Saturday night?
The biggest differences were obviously Kelly, and then just us are getting comfortable in our new roles. Michaela had a new role. Kenzie Maloney had a new role. Jazz Sweet was a freshman first time. Lauren Stivens had a new role. Ani Albright had a new role. So, I mean, everybody but Brianna. So there's five, six players who are completely new roles, and that's why we went with the theme good to great to unstoppable, because I knew it was going to take us a while. And we felt like, I mean, we lost in five at Florida. We felt like we could have won that match. What happened down there, we got in the fifth game, and Carly Lloyd punched us early, and they got off to an early lead in the fifth game with their jump serve. So when we played them Saturday night, our whole theme was we are not going to let her get a run on us, and we did a great job. I think the only time she had a one-point run on us, otherwise we sided around. We didn't let her have an impact in the match with her jump serve. And if you look to the night before against Stanford, their match against USC and UCLA, she had big runs in all the games that they won. So that was a goal of ours. Do not let her get a run. And, again, our players executed brilliantly. You know what I'm saying.
So I do that.
I'm still sleep-deprived right now, believe it or not. So
I'm glad you did that, because I do that all the time on the radio, and everybody's looking at me. But, Coach Cook, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see this coming. I thought Nebraska, I mean, if I was going to guess, I thought you might be 23-10 or something like that, and I thought that would have been a great year. And I can't really put my finger on it, but it seemed to me the six players out on the court that were playing, they kind of caught on, and they knew everybody's strengths, everybody's weaknesses, and everybody could cover the court and knew what everybody else was doing. So playing as a team was the key. What's your thoughts? Does that make any sense to you, or was it something else?
No, you nailed it. But I don't know why either. I mean, I'm looking at Ani and Sydney were walk-ons here. So, I mean, we've heard this story in football. You know, walk-ons emerge and become All-Americans. I mean, you just go over there, you know, you hear all about that. Here's two kids who walked on here, both have significant roles on our team. You know, we had the fewest All-Americans of anybody in the Final Four because we were a team. And, you know, and like Brianna Holman doesn't get All-American. And, you know, I made the comment yesterday. She kicked all those middles butts in the Final Four and through the whole NCAA tournament. She outplayed them all. But she didn't stand out in the Big Ten with us because we're such a balanced team. And, you know, the Colorado coach paid us the biggest compliment I heard all year was, I don't know how to defend Nebraska because everybody gets two plus kills a game. He goes, I have no answer how to defend these guys. And to me, that's the ultimate compliment. And great team.
John Cook is with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they continue to celebrate winning the national championship. Coach, the Kearney Chamber of Commerce wants to know if, because you played your spring match in Kearney and then you won the national championship, if you'd like to come back next year.
I'd love to come back there, but boy, we're going to upset a lot of other towns if we go back there again, because the day after that match, we already had emails and calls like, hey, will you come, you know, to this our town? So yeah, we'll worry about that when we get back from Christmas break.
Coach, what was going through your mind when Penn State had match point? And, of course, then we all remember that the setter gets tangled up with the middle there. But there was a point where the season's on the line, and there's usually that every season. Sometimes you don't win that point. But what's going through your head at that moment?
Nothing was going through my head. I was so in the zone point by point. I didn't even know what the score was. It was just focus on trying to win that next point. And, you know, and that's where our team was. And, you know, we did the same thing we played them a year ago in the regional final. I mean, we were down to the final point. In the NCAA tournament, you have to win. You're going to win one match. If you're going to go all the way, I think you have to win a match. like that. You're going to be down to your last breath, basically, your last point, and you got to find a way to pull it out. And all the years we've won national championships, we've had to do that, and that was the same thing there. Because you get such an unbelievable amount of confidence. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. We just came as close as we could to getting out, and now look at us now. So I think it's a huge confidence boost, but you know, championship teams have to go through that. Last year, Stanford was down 0-2 at Wisconsin in the regional final, came back, won it, and of course went on to win the national championship. So it's just part of the journey, and you weather that, and when you pull out, man, it's a great confidence booster.
Coach Cook, talk a little bit about your role with your assistant coaches, because you let them really coach. You let them be part of it.
You know, Chris and Danny both went and had great seasons. I mean, Chris could have been Coach of the Year in the Big Ten, took his team. I think after the NCAA tournament, he probably would have been. But they got all the way to, I mean, they lost a heartbreaker to Michigan State in the round of 16. And win that, they're playing Penn State in the regional final. They just, what a great turnaround with seven freshmen. So he took that team and did an amazing job. Danny won the ACC and couldn't beat Northern Iowa. Same, we couldn't beat them either. So Northern Iowa probably deserves to be a part of the national championship. But anyway, those guys had really proud of them. And, you know, what was really cool was our celebration. We were down in Kansas City, and we were at the Wesson Hotel. And we went out, and Chris came over. We smoked cigars out on this balcony about the fourth floor overlooking the whole city. It was really awesome. But, you know, that's a relationship I have with those guys. And Danny sat with us at the All-American Banquet. But my new assistants, I mean, they did an unbelievable job, and they integrated with our team, and our team had, I want you guys to think about this. Brianna Holman, when Chris left, was really upset with me and Chris leaving, because Tyler was her fourth coach in 4 years, if you think about that. Imagine that, a quarterback at Nebraska having four offensive coordinators in 4 years. I mean, it would drive him nuts. And Tyler worked really hard with Brianna to get her where she was probably the best middle in the country in the last 3 weeks of the season. So that's what I want to say. And then Kayla, you saw Kenzie Maloney. She was unbelievable in the NCAA tournament. She was unbelievable in the Final Four and unbelievable against Florida, and made all tournament at the Final Four. And that's Kayla doing her magic on her.
Last minute here with John Cook, so we can let him get back onto his day here, national champions. And also, it would appear that, Coach, sales of Dream Like a Champion have skyrocketed here right before a Christmas holiday break.
They should, because this team had some cool stuff. I've seen some really cool shirts. Of course, Scott Frost got on a couple of our shirts. Frosty in here, but, you know, we're cooking. So you got to love Nebraska, how creative people are, and you know, I signed a bunch of books yesterday, people, for Christmas. I mean, it's just the passion and enthusiasm. I mean, and like I said yesterday, what a great Christmas. This is a great Christmas present for this entire state. And I think this state needed something. I mean, you know, we've had cuts at the university. You know, football struggled this year with all the changes, new athletic director. I just think our state, if there's ever a time that we needed something like this to make a great winter and create a great energy going forward next year in 2018 with the athletic department, with the university, the entire state, this was classic. And just so happy to be a part of it, and really proud of our players being able to pull this thing off. And like, I think, Jim, like you said, it's going to take me a while to figure out how the hell we did it.
Well, Coach Cook, I'll say one thing is Nebraska fans follow, and I know it was in Kansas City. I think it helped it was in Kansas City because we just didn't have to pay for more gas. But those people would have traveled no matter where the hell that thing was at. We would have had a pretty good representative, and they really enjoy watching your team play.
They were saying down there in Kansas City, you know, it was an all-time record crowd, over 18,000, that it was Nebraska's bowl game. And that's a huge compliment to us that our fans would travel for volleyball. And I heard tickets were going for $500 on the street. And, you know, there's no place like Nebraska, but it was definitely an advantage for us. And the crowd was awesome. And I got to tell you guys, we drove up to go. We were driving, 6:30 to go to the 8 o'clock match, and they had a red carpet through. I've never seen so many people. I mean, it was overwhelming. It had to be 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people were walking through to go into the arena, and the buses pulling up. It was unbelievable. The mob scene. Anyway, it was awesome. It was overwhelming, but it was awesome.
Did you have time to celebrate with your volleyball team?
Not really. So you guys are going to crack up on this. That was one of the, I guess, if there's a disappointment in that, I was pulled in so many directions. We never, so were they. And the fact that all their families were there, they came down the court. I mean, it was chaos. And, of course, I get hooked up with our band, who's been awesome this year, and those guys are there. So I want to go take pictures with them because we just appreciate them traveling as well. And, of course, then I got to take a selfie with every kid in that band. So it was just, man, I got to go to a press conference. That thing went for 30 minutes. And so this is how we celebrated. Of course, everybody was up all night, and we got on the bus at 8 to come back up here to this Devaney celebration. So this is what our team wanted to do. Coach... And we wanted to do this after we won the Big Ten championship. They called it Canes on Coach. They wanted to go to Raising Canes, but after we won the Big Ten, again, so many families were here because it was senior night. We couldn't do that. So after we did the celebration at Devaney yesterday, we got back on a bus. We drove over to Raising Canes and had lunch together, and we got it to go, sat on the bus probably for 45 minutes, just talking, hanging out. And that was a kind of our celebration, and it was amazing. And nobody wanted to leave. Even families were waiting because they're taking off, going home for Christmas. And our team and coaches, we just sat on the bus and just hung out.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Incredible interview by Doug Duda, John Cook there, Jake Mielheisen. Momentarily, if you're going out tonight, 'tis the season for some cheer. Make sure you find that sober ride home. If you get caught drinking and driving, you could face a DWI that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time and be required to install an interlock device on your vehicle. So if you're making plans tonight or this weekend during the holiday season, get that sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. What a game. A tough finish, and a four-year captain for Nebraska basketball, Pride of Lincoln Southeast, Jake Mielheisen, back with us. Jake, just a jam-packed weekend for Nebraska fans with volleyball, with recruiting, and what a ball game on Saturday night. What was it like for you, courtside, calling it, and man, it had to sting. Are you over it?
Not yet, Chris. I mean, it was an awesome atmosphere. The crowd was great. And then, the game ended, and I think everybody in that arena was just kind of stunned that it was over and that we lost because, we played such a good game, and I thought we deserved to win. But, KU just made one more play than we did because it was a very even game and well-played game by both teams. But that one stung. I think everybody in there wanted to kind of throw up after that horn went off.
Passing by a couple of spots in the rail yard, some may have.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, but I bet they were having a lot of fun prior to and probably had too much.
Yeah. I'm not blaming the result on it. I just know that you might not be far off. Jake Mielheisen with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. So what do you take away? And Coach Miles, I've not seen him get emotional before. I've seen him be energetic. I've seen him be funny. I've seen him be like serial killer stare, right? When it comes to locked in and
right.
Intensity.
Yep.
But I have not seen him get emotional, and he got emotional about his team. What's your reaction to that?
I think he just cares so much about his players that, he wanted this one so bad for him because I thought, we played good enough at Creighton, and that was an emotional game for us, and we ended up losing that game. And we felt like we were in position to win that one. And then the same thing goes for KU. Just they're one of the blue bloods of college basketball. We had a chance to beat them at home, you read about it, you talk about it. Yeah, it creates some excitement that we played so well against KU. But the moral victories are they do a little bit. But he wanted that win for these guys just to end the weekend on a good note, get a W, and kind of go in these final three non-con games with a win over KU. That would have been huge. Where he was just extremely bummed out.
Did Nebraska need the win for validation? And I'm asking you to separate player and now go to like the fan aisle here. Or do you think the way this team's played at 7-5, wins over BC, right there with Creighton, that's a tourney team, we think. Kansas, it might not be self's vintage KU dudes, but man, they're really good. They'll probably win the Big 12 again because that's what they do. Did Nebraska basketball need to win Saturday night for validation that it's moving in the right direction? They look good to me. They look different. They look like someone you don't want to jack with. Do you see the same thing?
I do. I think, I don't think anybody wants to play us. I think we can beat, anybody on a given night. But we wanted that game so bad, and like you said, for more of a validation. We have some good wins, beating Minnesota, beating Boston College. We have some good wins, but beating a KU, with that Kansas across their jersey, that means a lot both to the fan base and even the players. So it just for a validation and a confidence standpoint, I think that'd have been a huge win for us. But hope those guys aren't down on themselves. Hopefully they're taking the positives away from it that they were. One or two plays away from beating the KU team, but you're right that that's not the typical Bill Self team, but they're still a good, they're a good quality, KU basketball team. And you're probably right. They're probably winning the Big 12 again, even though they probably shouldn't with only having seven, eight guys deep,
right.
But we should have won that game. And just, it'd have been a huge win for Husker Nation with, the volleyball, the recruiting and beating KU on the same day. That'd have been a pretty cool day for Husker Nation.
Trifectas are hard, man. They're hard to pull off, and Nebraska basketball was right there. Jake Mielheisen's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jake, a thought here on the end of game no call. This isn't zebra hunting. I'm not asking you to get into trouble by anything, but you've lived that, you've experienced it at the end of games with contact. And does it surprise you that there wasn't a whistle, being who was at home versus who was it away? I mean, if you go on the road to Lawrence, you're not going to get any calls. It ain't going to happen. But if you're at home with that type of atmosphere, referees are human. They can get caught up in parts of the game. Are you surprised there was no whistle on the Palmer putback?
A little bit. But, the refs are going to swallow their whistle most of the time unless it's completely blatant. And had Palmer had a cleaner look and not kind of be off balance a little bit, I think he would have maybe gotten the call. But it's just a tough spot to be in, and I don't think they maybe should have called that at all. But I think there were some other calls throughout the game that were questionable. But I feel like the reffing in general across college basketball has been just very inconsistent, especially the block charge call. They've just been inconsistent in what they're calling. If they're going to call it close, so they're going to let them play. So they just need to be more consistent in every game that I've watched this year.
That's a really tough call, but it's been a consistent call and not always an accurate call against Nebraska this season. And you go back to some of those blue blood games / tournament resume games. There were some block charge whistles that didn't go Nebraska's way against Kansas, against Creighton, and it's been a little rough. Jake, a thought here on the smaller lineup moving forward, that lineup when you have Roby and you have Copeland in, and now KU lobbed it in, and Roby just couldn't match up down low, and he's not supposed to. It's a weight mismatch. That said, from an athleticism standpoint and going to the 1-3-1, with that smaller lineup, man, is there going to be more of that lineup on the court moving forward, do you suspect?
I think you'll see that lineup with Copeland, Roby at the 4 and 5, and then you have Palmer at the 3, Glenn Watson at the 1, And then you'd even throw, and then you either throw Taylor at the two, Thomas Allen at the two, or Gill at the two. And I think you'll see that a lot more often. You know, just, and just the simple fact that Jordy has not been productive. You know, he we kind of go to him early in the last five games, and he hasn't really done anything to help us get the game started off correctly. And he just needs to be more of a factor for us to, you know, kind of get over that hump. Because, you know, we try to establish the paint first and then play inside out, and he just hasn't been there. So why not play smaller, create some mismatches on our offensive end as well, even though it might be a mismatch with, you know, like you said, Roby guarding a five down low. When we go to that zone, we can kind of hide that. But I love that lineup from an offensive standpoint.
Nebraska has so many options. Let's spend a minute here on Thomas Allen. I mean, and you knew the kid's pedigree with who was in his living room prior to signing with Nebraska. But the guy wasn't phased. He was efficient. He was confident. And the defense, and you know, I listened to Coach Miles after the game, the defense will come, and it's not even really a liability right now. It's just more of a maturity thing is what I'd look at. But did you expect that from Allen? Did you know that's what he could do? I mean, he came in, and he, and not just that he had 13, man, but he had monster shots to tie the game.
Yeah, he hit some big shots. And, you know, in key moments where KU was kind of going on a run, he came in and, you know, made some threes for us. But, you know, he's kind of that instant offense guy. I didn't expect him to, you know, score 13 points in 14 minutes, but he's one of those guys that can make a shot from everywhere. And what I really liked about it was he made, I don't remember which shot he made, but he wasn't afraid to talk trash to Devontae Graham either, because Graham was up in him and talking trash to him. And I think he hit his third shot, and he was right in Graham's ear, which I love to see, because I don't want to see these guys backing down from anybody.
Can you give us a PG version of it?
Well, I don't know what he said.
Okay.
It was on the right. I can't remember if it was a two or three, but he was in Graham's ear, and then Graham came back down and took a bad three because of that and missed it. But Graham was trying to get back at him, so it was good stuff from a freshman to be talking trash to a guy like Devontae Graham.
Jake, I want to end with this, and thanks so much for the time. It's fun to chat with you, Jake Mielheisen, for your captain and starter for Husker basketball and Lincoln Southeast product. Does Nebraska now, is their next step to not have any more of these heartbreaks? Ideally, you've learned from the two, v. Creighton, v. Kansas, and can this be what positions Nebraska into a really, really good finish in the Big Ten?
I think so. I think we've played a really tough schedule so far, and we've had some losses, you know, but nothing bad at all. UCF's going to be a good team. And obviously, St. John's will finish in the upper half of the Big East, and Michigan State, and then Creighton and KU. So we've played some really good basketball, played against some really good teams. So the next three games should all be wins at home. Go to the conference slate at Northwestern. You know, they're not playing well. They're playing at basically a neutral site, in my opinion, with their arena being remodeled. So we catch them at a good time. At Purdue is going to be really tough. But after that, you know, we can beat anybody on that schedule, in my opinion, especially our home games. So I'm pretty excited what we can do. You know, I think we can get to 18, 19 wins and then have a chance to be a bubble team and get to the tournament.
Well, and that BC win's looking better and better if they keep doing their thing with their win over Duke. So
absolutely.
That looks incredible. Jake Mielheisen's with us, four-year starter for Nebraska basketball and captain and, of course, the pride of Lincoln Southeast. Jake, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few minutes with us today. I always love your insight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. Jake Mielheisen with us on Hail Varsity Radio at Jake Mule on Twitter is where you find him. Aaron Babcock coming up 20 minutes away. It's Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Nebraska doing an amazing job of kind of finding their niche, their needs, and recruiting their backsides off. We'll tell you about the new verbal commit that came down, Deontay Williams. Man, that guy can do a lot of things in the secondary. We'll talk to Coach about the JUCO option, and we'll get caught up with Coach also with the walk-ons and what they can do for Nebraska. This preferred walk-on list is insane. Really talented kids from the state of Nebraska. Great to be with you on a Monday. The John Cook interview, incredible. Jake Mielheisen, great stuff on Nebraska, Kansas. Tell about how Nebraska now channels kind of this learning curve, these lumps moving forward. talented basketball team. What do they do with it moving forward? Aaron Babcock of Hail Varsity's next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Jake Wielheisen, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, 20 minutes away, Greg Smith of Hail Varsity Recruiting. When you think of Hail Varsity, you think about the amazing photos. And when it comes to Hail Varsity's photography needs, put your trust. They put their trust in Rockbrook Camera. You should, too. And great choices with Rockbrook Camera and Sony. The mirrorless image technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed, performance, and a fraction of the size and weight of traditional digital SLR cameras. Three locations for you at Rockbrook Camera. You can log on rockbrookcamera.com. You know who's taking those pictures for Hail Varsity? It's Aaron Babcock. And what a photo array of Kansas City and Nebraska's national championship. All the coverage with Nebraska football. Yeah, you see Aaron hanging out at PBA and getting great shots of in-game action. We welcome in Aaron Babcock right now. Aaron, it's been a weekend for you, man. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Well, tell me about it. What was it like to be behind the lens of a national championship and an incredible feat in Final Four for Nebraska volleyball?
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty special weekend, obviously. This one didn't feel that different from Omaha in terms of, you know, it felt like a home weekend. It was fun to see Nebraska fans take over the Power and Light District before those Final Four matches. So just great turnout by Husker fans. But I think what was surprising was just the path this team took. Not many people, myself included, gave them much of a chance to get to the Final Four, much less win at all this year. So pretty fun. Anytime you can shoot photos of a championship celebration, just that peak emotion for an athlete and a coach, those are rare opportunities that you really have to appreciate, and you try to just not screw it up too bad.
Yeah, I hear you, and you didn't screw it up. Can log on and see the shots of a championship season, and of course, weekend in Kansas City, HailVarsity.com. Also, some great video footage of Coach Cook and the celebration, and Nebraska and the almost had it against Kansas, the Tim Miles press conference. So, some great digital and video options with HailVarsity.com. Aaron, you've been around sports a long time. You've seen championship teams, and you've seen what that DNA is all about. And Coach Cook was adamant this season and kind of underlined it after the fact in the championship celebration, just what this team's chemistry is all about and what it's like. And is that something you noticed about this team as you had a chance to watch, observe, and then obviously with photography, capture those moments? But did you notice that this team kind of had that it when it came to chemistry?
Yeah, I definitely think you see that as the season progresses. You know, chemistry is like anything else. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a while to build those bonds. But I've always been a huge fan of, you know, of Kelly Hunter. I just think that she's something pretty special when you watch her, you know, from her personality to her leadership skills. Just very impressed with. She doesn't take herself too seriously. She checks her ego at the door from what I see. So I think she's, you know, the engine that makes that team go. And I think that's a pretty key part. You've got to have that leader. You know, a coach can do so much. They can instill a culture, but you really need a leader that can kind of take it the rest of the way when coach isn't around. You know, John Cook does not leave anything to chance. If you read his book that Brandon wrote, he's obsessed with thinking about everything from every little detail on nutrition to sleep tracking to psychology. So there's not much that he doesn't or hasn't thought about when it comes to finding a path to victory. And that's why I think a coach like that has the success he has. It's why he's a Hall of Fame coach, is because nothing is left to chance. And he's really just got an amazing blueprint for running a program. He just happens to be a
doing it at the volleyball level. I firmly believe that if he had stuck with his original path to be a football coach, that he would have been equally as successful.
Now, he just gets it, and he knows how to prepare his kids, and he knows how to give him confidence and put him in position and to reload like he did with the roster and coaching staff turnover is extremely impressive. Aaron Babcock's with us, owner, publisher, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Aaron, an image that sticks with you from the weekend that folks may have seen on HaleVarsity.com or in the magazine, but what's the one, is there one shot that sticks out above all for volleyball this year?
Well, you know, for me, I always like the ones with trophies and or those kind of sure. quiet moments. Those are kind of fun. You know, it was interesting. It was pretty flattering and humbling that at the press conference after, I think, on the day off in between matches, Kelly Hunter had shared one of our images, a photo I had taken from them kind of huddling up as a team right next to the championship logo. It was one that I liked. It's always cool when one of the athletes kind of grabs onto that and you know, spend some time talking about it. So I tend to also like the quiet moments after it's all done. And, you know, we've still got some images that we're going to go back and probably publish some more, because when you're on deadline, there's I shot about 5,000 images, and we published about 50. So there's still some meat on the bone, so to speak. But, you know, I think just the probably my favorite one is the team storming the court after the win, you know, the final point. Mm-hmm. That's one that if you look closely, you can see John Cook in the background in between players with his arms, you know, up in the air, looking straight to the sky. You know, it's you can see a lot of the faces, which doesn't always happen. I was fortunate enough to be in a good spot to get a unique angle of that. So that was probably my favorite image from Saturday night.
Aaron, about 90 seconds here, but the holiday season is here. Hail Varsity Magazine, a great gift for that Husker fan. Tell folks what's going on, and the frost cover issue has gone over extremely well.
Yeah, it's been very popular, probably one of our most popular issues. I know it's sold out in a number of locations. I think Barnes & Noble's in town are sold out in Lincoln, Omaha. Fortunately, we still have a few left. So if people subscribe today and maybe even tomorrow, we will include that December issue as part of the subscription. So you'll get that'll be one of your 10 issues. We'll mail that out. And as soon as possible, it's a great keepsake to have. I know that they're hard to come by. We've had a number of outlets calling us wanting to carry them in stores, but those are kind of reserved for our subscribers at this point. So if you subscribe, $29.95 for 1 year, save $5. You can get it 2 years at $54.95, or our best deal, 3 years, $74.95. You save $15 off our subscription price. So heck of a deal. It's a great, great gift for the Husker fan in your life.
Aaron, thanks so much. And awesome stuff from Kansas City. And thanks for the time today.
Thanks, Vinny.
Take care. Aaron Babcock. And can log on HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. Get that subscription to the website. Get that subscription to the magazine. 855-3-HUSKER is what you dial up to get that subscription. Take care of that Husker fan, yourself or others. Chance at a holiday Hail Mary coming up. Charlie McBride, 15 minutes away. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We brought that Maddie home.
She did. There's Kelly Hunter. And, man, brought that Natty home. When I hear Natty, I think of the cheap, a lot of times warm, I don't want it, you take it, Natty. That one, well earned. Good work for Nebraska volleyball. Good stuff from Nebraska basketball. Almost there. They're sick of coming close and not getting it. And I think they'll adapt accordingly moving forward as Big Ten season is around the corner, more of the Big Ten season. Great to be with you on Monday. So much to get to, some NFL next hour, recruiting galore. Who's in on Wednesday? Greg Smith might know. I think he does. But what's happening with Nebraska here on the recruiting trail as early signing day 20 for the class of 2018 is on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 72 hours worth. And Hail Varsity can be all over it. Greg Smith coming up. And yes, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride in about 10 minutes can join the show. We've been slammed. We've been just busy. Jake Mielheisen, Aaron Babcock, John Cook can tap the line. Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. A reminder from your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. It's going to get cold and chilly out soon, maybe sooner than later. If you're out there, you're putting the tree up, you're hanging lights. If you haven't done that already, I'm not judging. I haven't put lights up forever. But maybe you have some back strain or you have some pain, and Therapy Plus with Madonna can help you with all your physical therapy needs. Skilled therapists using the most advanced technology, and they'll get you the results you need to get back on the trail, back on the court, just back in life. Three locations, and Therapy Plus been rocking for 10 years and counting, and it's voted Lincoln's number one choice for physical therapy. Again, three locations in Lincoln, one in West Omaha. If you need to get back and get right with that strain or that sprain you may have, you can log on today with Madonna, therapyplus.com. Should we get you qualified again Thursday? It's the Holiday Hail Mary giveaway.
'Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nipply out.
I mean Nippy out.
Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line!
And we're going
to
have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny Kaye.
And caught!
Caller 5 right now qualifies for the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM. Colton will take caller 5 to qualify you. The drawing coming up Thursday around 5:55. 800-825-5865. 466-3776. Caller 5 qualifies. Your chance to win a laptop from Schrock Innovations, a automatic cost order from Auto Sounds, and how about that $100 gift card to Jet Splash? Caller 5 qualifies right now. That giveaway coming up Thursday with Hail Varsity at ESPN. Coach Charlie McBride's on the way. Greg Smith in room for you. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Welcome in the coach. Coach, how are you today?
Good. I'm just sitting here having a great time.
Well, good.
I celebrated my brother's birthday. He's catching up. He's almost getting as old as I am.
What'd you do for him?
Well, I just sat down. Nothing. We just sat there and talked for a while.
Good for you.
No. We didn't have a party. No, we're too old for that stuff.
That's
anymore.
Okay. You know, if you wanted to, you could. That's fine. Those December birthdays are tricky, though. You know what?
Yeah, I know. We got, I think there's, in our family, there's 8 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 2 of them after Christmas, like 2 days.
Really?
Yeah, so those guys get a lot of stuff thrown at them.
Yeah, I'm getting shaken down for Santa, of course. So we'll see how it goes. I need to ask you here, how would you have handled or would you have liked an early signing period? That thing's coming up Wednesday. What are your thoughts on it?
I'd quit.
Good for you, man.
Well, I tell you what, it's not a good deal for you know, the people in sparse areas. And you know, I go back to the same thing. Nebraska got a tough job, and right. That's why the walk-on program has been so great for us. If you spend the time to make these guys players, that's good. But I don't know. It might end up being saving a lot of people out of decommits and all this kind of stuff. And I can understand kids decommitting when a coach leaves or something like that. The head coach, when the defensive or offensive coaches leave, you know, as position coaches, I'm not real high on that person as it is, you know. I think that's, you know, if you're coming just because of one person, that's not a good thing to have happen. But anyway, I think it, you know, it's going to be tested this year, and that's the only thing we can do is wait and see. Now, Scott and the staff have had not much of a chance to really, even though they've been going like crazy, they really haven't had the kind of chance they'll have when you got a full year, because I know there's some kids in the state that they probably maybe halfway are on and haven't decided and stuff like that. So that's the tough part.
Coach, you mentioned Scott's been going after it 1,000 miles per hour. What a week he had in air miles traveled. I mean, he got himself his quarterback, and the kid looks great. Not to put too much praise on him, but he looks like a really talented quarterback, and you know how important quarterbacks are. And then the walk-on event, we were talking with Joel Makovica last week, and he was just still smiling about that event. And I tell you what, the list of preferred walk-ons that are out is incredible. Some really good in-state talent. Speak a bit, if you could, to this this emphasis from Frost and his guys to making sure the in-state kids are going to be developed.
Well, I think that maybe in the last part of it, it wasn't there, but he understands what has to be done in Nebraska, that you've got kids with two coaches, an offense and a defensive coach playing eight-man football, or even in the 11, you might have three, maybe four coaches if you're lucky, and probably two of them don't know what they're doing. And, you know, so the thing is when you find a kid that's size-wise good, and, you know, I got this stuff from a recruiting coordinator of ours, well, he can't scramble block. You got to be kidding me, I said. Why do we have coach written on our shirt?
Okay.
You know, so those things have to be done, you know, if their heart's in the right place, they're tough, they move around, they got good grades, you know, there's no reason not to recruit them. Sure, oh, we didn't get a 4 point here, we only got the 4 stars and all that baloney. You know, you got to get what fits in your program, and if you have a bunch of hearts from the right place and in the state, you'll be a good football team, I'll promise you.
Coach, chemistry has been a big topic today, and it goes to volleyball, and it goes to Coach Frost talking about his chemistry and what he had in Central Florida and what he wants at Nebraska. And I wanted to know how, on your side of the ball, how you developed that chemistry with kids from you down to your leaders.
I think it starts at the top, first of all. Then it works down. I think as assistant coach get into meetings, get into just personal talk with a person, I think you kind of know what you have to do to kind of turn his switch. I know I used to find out how you could get a kid to really let it go. And some guys you don't yell at, some guys you yell at, some guys you have all different things have to happen. I think the biggest thing is openness between the player and his position coach. I think if he's got a problem, that he'll come to you. If he doesn't, trying to hide something, it doesn't work. I mean, I hit a few things from Coach Osborne, you know, and then nothing drastic, but I mean, a few things that they didn't want him to know or this or that. And, you know, I ran into where they actually kids were losing their farms, and one kid came in on Saturday and was crying. He said, "Coach, I got to go home. I can't scrimmage." And, you know, you really, boy, does that hurt you. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many things that he had the guts to come in. He felt good enough to come in and tell me. You know, and you know, even losing a girlfriend, the girl, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, you get to know a kid pretty well. You're one of his relatives, and that's probably what you're working for. And when that happens, it all seems to fall together with the team. That, hey, these coaches care about us. These coaches are trying to make us better people, and so on and so forth. And I think that's where it comes from. And I think Scott's that kind of person. I think he's a real player's coach. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that they're going to like. I can't see how they won't like him. I'd be really off the air if I say something, because you never want to say anything. You got to take back.
Sure.
I would say that, you know, he's got the chemistry himself to work with players, and you can see that as it happened, you know, for the bowl game and so on.
Coach, I want to talk advantages that Nebraska had, and the walk-on program was one. How selective you were with junior college kids or the Prop 48 kids, but, man, they, more times than not, at least you remember the ones that really were – or difference makers. But when it comes to nutrition and sports psychology and just sleep patterns, I mean, Ralph was saying one time about how, Ralph Brown, how you guys would talk to him about sleeping. I mean, it makes sense, resting, but that seems super in-depth, and it's necessary. But the advantages you had, and Coach Osborne and you and Frank and the gang, I mean, you guys were all over. You were, it seems like, 15, 20 steps ahead of a lot of programs based on the details, right? The details,
well,
the buildup.
We were fortunate when we were there. Jack Stark, who was a psychologist who has been with our program, he's been with NASCAR, he's been with 1,000 different people. In fact, I think he's at Wyoming with Greg Bull right now.
Okay.
I mean, working with their kids. I think you have to have somebody that the players can go to that they don't want anybody to know except advice from a person. And if you're a psychologist or something, that's usually the best way to handle, I think, things like that. Now, the lower grade programs that down the line, the threes and that, they can't afford to have stuff like that. But if you look now, you'll have somebody in that manner that, you know, went through our program, finds out, you know, what the heck we did and all these different things. And that's one thing. He's got a sounding board, you know, and one that will not go to the coaches and say, "This is I talked to so and so last night. You got to da da da." Mm-hmm. You know, no. That's an out. When they know, they can talk to you, and things like that. And it isn't going anywhere but between the two of you. Then I think that really is a plus for the program. And so I don't know what Scott's got in mind. He's been here with it.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, right now he's got so many things in his front of him. I mean, you know, his roller skates are going to wear out. It's fun to think about. You know, he's probably got a million things he wants to do that at this point he can't do. Can't talk to the players he's recruiting about yet because things aren't set.
Coach, I was looking at a new verbal commit Nebraska got, and he's a safety, but he also can play nickel corner, and he's just super versatile. The JUCO kid, Deontay Williams, is his name, and he's you know, supposed to sign on Wednesday. But was it tough to narrow down guys that were super versatile? I mean, sometimes it's probably easy. Okay, we need a guy at nickel, we need a guy at safety, we need a guy at corner. But say this guy's talented enough and he's a good enough tackler to help you in all three areas. How does something come to your mind about having to make a tough call with the guy at a spot specifically?
No, don't lock him in.
Okay.
You know, let him give him all. He has all those chances to get to the place where he's the best player.
Okay.
And I don't think you lock a player and say, well, we're going to recruit you as an offensive lineman or a defense or a corner or, you know, even though you played safety and all that stuff. I think you need to find – you have more chances to play football than the more places you can – the most places you play. I don't know, my English ain't real good. But,
you're good.
But if you got a guy that can play three places, beautiful. That's even a – that's a big time plus, I think. And, you know, and if he's willing to do any of those three things or four or whatever he can do to play, that's what he's concerned about. So a lot of kids go through high school and play at one side of the ball. And I always looked at kids that played on both sides, even though they were really offensive linemen. We were recruiting and they were second team defensive linemen, you know, and all that stuff. You know, we had kids come in here that they turned down on offense, okay? I won't name names. I told the guy recruiting him, I said, I looked at him on film, I said, you got to be kidding me. I coached the offensive line, and I didn't think that was the right thing to do. So I said, tell him to make a defensive line. He'll be a defensive line. He did play defense, and the kid signed. Well, he's... next thing you know, he's lined up at guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers as an offensive lineman. He came here, and I got sitting there in the office, and Coach Osborne and Coach Tennifer walked in and said, you know, so-and-so, we'd like to think he can play some offensive guard for us. And that's what I was waiting to hear.
Gotcha.
Because that's what he was.
Mm.
But we took it, Coach Darlington and I took a chance on him, and he could have been a defensive lineman. There's no question. But, you know, those things happen, and, you know, kids are growth, speed, all mixes up once you get them here.
Mm.
How much they improve, weight, everything, you know, and it's all when you get here and you get in the program, get in the weight training, get in all those things, that's when it starts. You know, that's when the marbles are rolled, and that's when you as a coach have to decide, and you sit down with the player. And then 99% of the time, I've found out that player understands why you're doing what you're doing if they believe in you.
Hmm. Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, we are off for Christmas next week, and then we'll be back the 2nd of January. So we have a bit of a holiday break ourselves, and we want you and your fantastic family to have a Merry Christmas.
Well, you too. And all the people in Nebraska have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And, you know, we wish we were back there, but we're here.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, listen, same with you and all the guys working with you.
Sure.
You know, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll see you on the 2nd, right?
That'll be great, Coach. Can't wait for it. We love you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take
love
care.
Love you, too.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Coach Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt. And he is tremendous. I love getting his insight, just honest, and the behind-the-scenes slash rundown of just connecting, being real with kids, being real with players, and developing those relationships. Extremely important. Relationships, the name of the game. Greg Smith will be up shortly on recruiting. Early signing day, the 20th. What's the latest? Who's thinking about saying yes to Nebraska? Where's Nebraska stand with some big-time gets and talent? Greg Smith will have it for you. Rick always has it for you with Sauter Heyman. And this holiday season, please think about this. 0% interest financing through 2020. Check out the extensive collection of both Earthmind and pure-grown diamonds. 1 carat diamonds. Cha-ching. Yes, $99 down, $99 a month. That's a winner. 0% interest financing through 2020 with Sauter Heyman. Locations for you, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, or out west with your friends in Grand Island. I call him Santa Rick. I think that that red hat is on quite a bit this time of year. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, sauterheyman.com. Little Cruton up next with Greg Smith of Hale Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Your chance coming up, Holiday Hail Mary qualification. Follow Greg Smith on Twitter at GregSmithHV. Let's talk some recruiting with Hail Varsity's recruiting analyst. Greg, what's new, man? How are you?
Not much, man. Just barreling towards this early signing day, but I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
Doing awesome, man, and great work with it. Let's start with Greg Bell, tremendous back. Nebraska, Tennessee, Louisville, what are you hearing? What are you feeling?
Yeah, you know, all around back out of Arizona Western Community College. I think he's a California native originally. He was here in Nebraska the weekend of December 8th, was at Tennessee this past weekend, and it felt like JUCO Palooza out there. I think they had five or six different JUCO prospects on campus at Tennessee this weekend. It seems like it'll come down between Nebraska and Tennessee. It's hard to get a read on this one because if you go by social media, he plays both sides, Nebraska and Tennessee, pretty heavily. Apparently Boise State is in the mix too, but I can't see him signing there just based off of the little bit that I've been able to talk to him. It seems like it's Nebraska and Tennessee. I don't necessarily think. I think right now it would be 60-40 if I had to pick leaning towards Tennessee.
Deshaun Jones, Nebraska making his top four. He's a Florida wide receiver. Tell us a little bit about Jones and where you think Nebraska stands.
Yeah, Jones is a little unique when you look at receivers that Scott Frost has offered since he's been here. He doesn't jump out to you on film right away as being a big-time burner. He's about 6'1", 175, 180. He's a good route runner, though. He's more of a possession-type guy. He has a really good friendship with Adrian Martinez, the four-star quarterback commit, who he actually, when both of those guys were on the same official visit at both Tennessee and Nebraska, interestingly enough, and have struck up a friendship. I know Martinez is working hard on him. I do like Nebraska's chances here, but Maryland is really playing heavily into the mix on this one as well.
Let's talk Deontay Williams. He is a verbal commit, did so yesterday. Good story from you on HailVarsity.com. Man, this guy is a thumper, and he's a quick reactor, and he's a Mr. Versatility, isn't he?
Yeah, he definitely is. This is the type of a guy that when you look at the junior college ranks for defensive backs, as a lot of people have wanted to Nebraska to do over the last few years, he's the kind of guy that you're thinking of, right? Like you said, he has great versatility. He's a really good hitter. And that, to me, jumps out about a lot of the defensive backs that Nebraska have looked at since Scott Frost took over, is I feel like the two things that you can say about a lot of them are speed and tackling. Like, a lot of these guys tackle very well, and Williams is no different. I think he'll be a welcome addition to this class, and Husker fans would be make him a fan favorite pretty quickly if he keeps hitting the way that he did in JUCO.
Greg, how many kids came to Lincoln this past weekend, and where are you at from a feel with guys that are up in the air right now? I know we talked a little bit here about Deontay. He said yes, but give me a rundown of who is here and what they feel.
Yeah, there were seven total guys, including Deontay Williams that you mentioned, that committed. We also had Tate Wilderman, a three-star defensive end commit out of Colorado, who basically kind of reaffirmed his pledge to Nebraska. I don't think it was in a lot of danger. I think that he just needed to meet the coaching staff and get a feel for what they were trying to do. And I have an article up on HailVarsity.com now about him feeling like he was at home and he was really fired up to be around those coaches. I think a guy that I would say it was on flip watch coming into the weekend, and now we can't necessarily call it a flip because he decommitted from UCF, is Katerian Legrone, 6'3", 225 tight end, who was, like I said, committed to UCF before. He actually decommitted from UCF before he even left Lincoln, so I think that that's a good sign. He'll announce on Wednesday, but really all signs point to Nebraska since UCF and Nebraska are the only two schools that he visited, and he just decommitted from UCF. He also had a linebacker from JUCO, three-star Will Honus, who was in town. Middle linebacker will be a great replacement for Chris Weber in the middle. He hits anything that moves. If anybody's watched his huddle film, he's become kind of a folk hero around here. It's down to Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas State. Wisconsin made a late offer here today, but it might be too little too late for him. But Will Hunters will be a great get. And there are a couple other guys on campus as well. Messiah Swinson, big tight end, 6'8 guy, who also could play on the defensive line as well. It was a good visit weekend, put their best before the early signing period.
Let's talk about Honus real quick. And Wisconsin, I mean, man, they just kind of print linebackers. They're really good at it. That said, does Nebraska maybe have an edge, even with Iowa and K-State being earlier than Nebraska because of Barrett Rudd?
Yeah, that's basically Nebraska's trump card in all of this, is his relationship and affinity towards Barrett Root, which, hey, you take those advantages any way you can get them, especially with a kid of this caliber. Yeah, it's difficult because Nebraska did get in late, and when you look at the other schools that are going up against Nebraska for this kid, these are teams that you just identify with great linebacker play, right? Whether it's Iowa, Kansas State, or Wisconsin, like, you know, if you're a linebacker and you go to those schools, you're going to be developed well. Nebraska trying to flip that a little bit and be known for that as well again here under Frost.
Tell me a little bit about Marcus Riley, an athlete. Is he, I know it's verbal to Louisville. Was he in town last weekend as well?
Yeah, he was in town. I forgot him, and I forgot
no, you're
Cam
good. You're
Jones,
good.
Four-star safety. Sorry about that. A lot of guys going on here. Marcus Riley is a four-star athlete, like you said, committed to Louisville. Unclear on where he would play for Nebraska. I think that they're recruiting him more as an athlete, where they're going to figure out the position a little bit later. And I think that there's any number of positions that are up in the air for him, where you could see him at cornerback, you could see him at wide receiver. I think you could even see him at quarterback, as he played quarterback in high school as well. And Nebraska will need to flip that quarterback room in short order. And there's no guarantees on which of those guys, if any, will stay. So the new coaching staff may be a little bit concerned about that. But it sounds like he's going to decide on Wednesday as well between the school Louisville that he's committed to and Nebraska, which is always a good sign when a guy is committed and they're going to have to make a decision after leaving your school, especially if, you know, you're not the committed school that they're looking at.
Well, let's talk about Jerron Woodyard and Cameron Brown, two wideouts. Woodyard committed last weekend. Cam Brown's, is he still technically a commit?
Technically.
What are your thoughts on both these wideouts?
Yeah, I'll start with Cam Brown. I think I wrote today in my primer for early signing day, in parentheses, next to Cam Brown signing on Wednesday, it looks like it'll be Ohio State. All things point to him signing with Ohio State, so long as Urban says he has a spot. The problem with him this whole cycle, basically, since he last recommitted to Nebraska, is that he's liked Ohio State, but Ohio State did not have a spot for him because they were in on some other big-name targets. They landed one of those big-name targets, his teammate, actually, in Cameron Brown, and so it's just been difficult. They're tight on space, and they may actually be over what they need to be signing. So that's one to keep an eye on. I wouldn't be surprised if either he signed with Ohio State or pushed his time back and did not sign this week. And as far as Jerron Woodyard, that's an interesting one. He committed last week, like you said, then went to Tennessee this weekend with his three teammates from Arizona Western. I wish he had not actually committed last week, because it would save a lot of back-and-forth headache for him and Nebraska fans. I think he ultimately sticks with Nebraska, but Tennessee gave him something to think about this weekend.
Give me an update here on C.J. Smith, because he's another guy that was all in, and is there some question mark around him now?
You know, I don't think there's necessarily any question that he's going to eventually be in Nebraska's class. I think the question is whether or not he's signing this week or he's going to wait until February. Like, I don't think that there's really a question he'll be in Nebraska's class. It's just been hard for everyone to catch up with him to get a definitive answer on whether or not he's signing this week or not. Because if you look, especially, I've talked to him before he committed, and he was very pro-Nebraska, then committed, and he's been doing some peer recruiting on Twitter and whatnot. So I would expect him to still be in the class. It's just whether or not he actually signed this week or not.
Two in-state kids. Greg Smith's with us. HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Latest on Mazrie Maypew and Cam Jurgens.
Yeah, Cam Jurgens, breathe easy. He'll be signing on Wednesday at a ceremony at his school, Beatrice, which is great news after the late push from LSU. He was actually at LSU the weekend that Mike Riley was fired. Just terrible timing for all of that. But he will be signing with Nebraska and has been in contact with the new coaching staff and feels a lot better. That's the good news. The bad news on the other in that state front here, Mazrie Maypew will not be signing on Wednesday, but this one is more of an academic reason. His grades are not quite yet in order for him to be a full qualifier at Nebraska yet. So basically what happened is Scott Frost went to him and said, we would like you to not sign on Wednesday, because if you sign on Wednesday and then don't academically qualify, you still count against our scholarship number. So they'll wait until he's a full qualifier in February if, in fact, he's able to qualify.
Okay. Are you expecting any more public commitments? Are you likely going to see that, or would that be too easy? Is it going to be reaction time Wednesday? How do you see this thing shaking out in an uncertain first time for everyone rodeo?
Yeah, I see this one being more, if you've waited to this point to make your public announcement, you're going to wait until Wednesday. And because guys like Legrone and Jashawn Jones, guys that you might think will end up with Nebraska, still will wait until Wednesday, and we'll all kind of be sweating it out until then, and then you'll see the flurry of announcements on Wednesday.
Greg, I know you're going to be all over it. What's coming up Wednesday, not only Wednesday, but tonight, tomorrow, with HailVarsity.com and from the coverage slash info. I mean, you're going to be all over it, man. Anything Wednesday or just log on and subscribe? Is that pretty much simple to say?
Yeah, that would be the basic gist of it. I should hire you as my hype man. Yeah, just log on, subscribe. We'll have a running thread. We'll have some neat stuff for you guys. Run down some of these guys' coaches to be able to get some more insight into their games as well. There's a lot of new names and a lot of new faces in this recruiting process now. So a lot of us are learning about these guys on the fly, trying to bring you as much info as we can right away.
Last thought here on Adrian Martinez. I know you've spoken with Adrian, and all I can say is wow from last week. And we had you on last Monday. He said yes Tuesday night, Wednesday announcement. And what do you think of this quarterback get for Frost?
You know, the more I think about it, the more I like it. I think he's a fantastic player that really, in a weird way, went under the radar because of the torn labrum. Now, you have to hope that he comes back fully healthy. But, you know, a young guy like that, you expect him to. I think Nebraska really got a gem, and to get their number one target at quarterback is great. And I think he's going to be a great ambassador for Husker football. He's already peer recruiting. Like you mentioned, he sounds like he's 30, 35 years old already. I think that's a great get and a cornerstone of this class.
Awesome stuff. Greg, have a great night. We'll catch up with you soon, bud. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me as always, man.
Appreciate it. There he is, Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. There's your rundown, man. There's a ton of info, and Greg will have it for you, HailVarsity.com. Can get signed up. Subscribe today, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Well, worth it. Awesome stuff for Greg. Listen, if I'm circling a couple of guys, I'm going to say it again. Will Honus, please, if you're a Nebraska fan, I think he's nice. I honestly think that Williams, the defensive back safety hybrid guy, I love his film. I think Weldeman is a beast, a defensive end. He's nice. Then you know what I think of Adrian. We had Adrian's coach last week. And the size they're getting with Legrone and Swinson at tight end, impressive. But watch the two Louisville guys. Riley is one to watch. Greg Bell, the other to watch. We'll continue on with Hail Varsity after this.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Greg Smith for talking some recruiting with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And we'll get to some NFL shortly. And Mark tweets in, hey, Schmitty, have Greg on more often. We love what he brings to the table. Agreed, Mark. Greg's been chasing recruits down. He's a busy man. Can dial us up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house. If you missed Aaron Babcock earlier, still a chance for you to get that subscription locked in with Hail Varsity and get the Frost special issue as part of your subscription. 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Okay, lot to get to with the weekend. Heard from Coach Cook earlier. We talked with Jake Mielheisen for Nebraska basketball. And recruiting's kind of been on the forefront for a lot of you, mixed in with basketball and volleyball. So the trifecta weekend. And let's spend a second or two here on some of the preferred walk-ons that are out and have locked in with Nebraska. Of course, you got linebacker Jake Archer of Scott, and a program that's you know, coached by Matt Turman, Verz, those guys up there. Scott's a tremendous program, tremendous power in Class B, and Archer's a really good linebacker. I like any time I can get Nebraska linebackers from Scott, from Elkhorn, from Southeast. Cassidy's a monster from Pius. Really talented linebacker and fullback. The guy that is making a lot of folks who cover high school ball smile, and I cover high school ball, I just haven't seen a lot of Bellevue West in season. When they come to Lincoln, yeah, I'll cover them, but I haven't been out to Omaha to see them. But Forbes is who I'm talking about on the offensive line. Really, really talented kid. And to get a kid like Forbes, who can go play at a lot of places, to walk on at Nebraska as a winner. Justin Holm, big-time athlete from Southwest. Kroll, the tight end of North Platte's, just a potential nightmare matchup-wise for folks. You're getting some studs. You're getting some quality kids. You're getting some kids that will not only push whoever's in front of them, but may take a job or several before it's all said and done. And Shefke, also a Southwest product on the offensive line. Schomer is the guy in Norfolk that you got to smile about, too, at 6'5", 240, that can be one of those menacing defenders on scout team, on practice squad, on second team, on game day. So you feel good about that if you're Nebraska. And as far as what's next for Nebraska, I don't have the old crystal ball in front of me here, but I think I'd feel really good if I'm a Nebraska fan about Honus, the linebacker. I just would, because of that Barrett Rood connection. I feel great if you're a Nebraska fan about Williams at safety. And I'm not a huge film guy. I'll watch it. I'll watch it with my own eyes. And then I'll try and apply it to, okay, when push comes to shove, can this translate versus Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, whoever? Can it translate against Troy next year? Honus is a dude that can do that. I think Williams is a guy. And he's a three-year guy. Get him for 3 years. And his reaction time and closing at a high level of JUCO ball is nice. It's great. Let's spend a few minutes here on the NFL. So I'm sitting in the living room last night. We did the old chicken breast crock pot. A couple of baked potatoes. Salad. It was nice. So as it's getting ready, me and Junior are sitting and watching Pittsburgh, New England. And I'm like, and we have a rooting interest from a fantasy standpoint, because our playoffs are still, have just started. So I'm playing, well, my cousin, and he's got Big Ben, and I'm down going into a couple of guys playing Monday night. And you see just two greats go at it. You see Brady, you see Big Ben, and you see like that first snap back to Brady, and it should have been intercepted. It wasn't. Let's hook up with Gronk a couple times. New England gets into the end zone. Game over, right? Game over against New England's D. As shaky as they've been with giving up big plays and tackling and inconsistency and injury, that's a huge advantage to a defense needing to go 80 yards in under a minute. What happens? Juju gets a block, a screen, and motors. And then you have the call. James had it, knee went down, didn't complete the catch. And I'm like, okay, this is deflating if you're a Pittsburgh fan, but you still got time. And what happens? New England gets their hand on a football, because Lord knows they've seen people try and run slant routes against him inside the red zone because of their beef and jumbo package against the run inside the red zone. And it's intercepted. And immediately, and you've seen social media today, Pittsburgh fans lose their mind, A, about the call, B, about the interception. Coach Tomlin, though, did not lose his mind last night.
I don't have HD and all of that stuff, so it's really irrelevant how I feel about it, to be honest with you. It's not going to change the outcome of the game. I'm not going to cry over spilt milk.
Milk is what was supposed to be spit out there, and that wasn't me or him. It was whoever sent us the audio. So if you're Pittsburgh, you've won by the hair of your chinny chin chin the last few weeks. You had this one won. You've got Le'Veon Bell. Antonio's got a jacked calf, and he should be back by the postseason. What you don't have, though, is good football right now. You've not been playing dominant football. You've let teams, and I know the NFL's kind of a coin flip, right? Everyone's good. You've not been blowing out dominating teams, which is hard to do in the NFL. But they have found ways to win, which is impressive. And they lost the way they'd been winning the last month. Can they flip the switch and get to a higher level? They have the talent to do it. They've got the defense to do it. They've got Big Ben, who's been playing his best football of his career, and I know he's got two rings. Tom Brady, though, the ageless wonder. I think New England, they lost to Miami. They were down and found a way to win, which is impressive. They need Burkhead back. He makes that offense go for him. Thank God his knee's not trashed. It looked like it could have been. What New England does is just smother you. And then they find a way. We'll hear from Tom Brady on the other side because I'm blabbing too long. But that was, give me that in the AFC title game every year, period. And I hope you get it again this year. But now New England's got the head-to-head against Pittsburgh for home field.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One more thought here on Pittsburgh and New England. It was pretty cool to hear Brady, whether you're Team Tom or not, talk about the ball game like he was an 11-year-old that played in your front yard with the rest of the neighbor kids, the way the back and forth went.
It was a great environment and great team we played that played really well. I'm in the weather conditions, so it kind of rained the whole game. So it's just one of those days and goes back and forth, and you play right to the end and ball bounces some weird ways, and I'm glad it bounced our way today.
That's pretty reality for Brady. It bounces some weird ways, and you got away with one. That's, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you got to feel that way. If you're a New England fan, you got to be like, eh, that was fortunate. The old completion of the catch. I know that's been like a national topic today, and it's been worn out, so I won't get into it because you have to do crazy things like it's almost an egg with that football. That's how you got to grapple it, rescue it, and fall to the ground with it. And, man, it was great TV. Phenomenal NFL football. Let's get one more lucky person qualified today. More chances for you tomorrow with the holiday Hail Mary. Don't forget what's at stake here. Not only do you get qualified for the holiday Hail Mary, but here's what you win if Colton draws your name on Thursday. A laptop from Schrock Innovations. That's a savings. It's money right there. A Viper car starter from Auto Sounds. You got that car that isn't quite equipped with the car starter. You and I like scraping? New. You like a cold seat? New. Auto Sounds can hook you up, part of the holiday Hail Mary. Then a $100 gift card to Jet Splash. Keep that ride of yours looking nice. Let's get you qualified now.
'Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nipply out.
I mean Nippy out.
Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line!
Ever
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny and Kay.
And Todd!
Caller 5 right now qualifies for the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM. So I had a message on Twitter earlier from Dan, who's Danny K. And he was a comedian that died in 1987. He was in A White Christmas. And I maybe have seen White Christmas. It's been on. I don't know if I've sat down and ever watched it. Point is Clark was losing his mind there. We had to do the old radio edit thing. And voila. And voila. There it is. How many times have you watched Christmas Vacation, Colton? I mean,
once or twice, probably.
Already?
Okay. No, not yet.
Really?
I need to probably need to create.
Well, it's on 17 times a day throughout.
I'll find somewhere to.
No, I'm just. It's all good.
Also, I'd like to say the Jaguars are making the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm putting that out.
We're drug
right
testing
now.
You tomorrow. But not as crazy as the Bortles numbers. Closet Jag fan. Tomorrow at 4, we'll find you on Hail Varsity. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Check out the podcast on HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Take care.